Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one,
man. Spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Reality. Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Global Happiness Specialist, Inner Peace Practitioner. I threw in Oracle, too. Teacher, but more importantly, a student of the universe, a student of what this, what is this anyway, this journey we call life, what is this, a constant, ongoing, never-ending student. And you know what someone told me yesterday? What did he say? He said, because I was telling him how long I've been practicing, you know, this thing called happiness. Yeah, happiness specialist, that's right, that's me. How the hell did I get into that whole happiness business in the first place? He said, wow, you've been dedicated and devoted. I said, yeah, 45-plus years. Wow. I can't even imagine being so committed to something for that long. And like I share, and you know, I get constantly new listeners and new followers, and thank you and welcome. Thank you and welcome. And let me just say this before we start. Put your seatbelts on, everybody, because the message, what I share, it does push a lot of buttons. It's controversial, it's disruptive, it's not the norm, it's a little contentious, and it's not popular with the masses. So hold on tight. But back to this commitment. When I was younger, you know, when you blow off the candles on your birthday cake and you make a wish, I always wished for the same two things. I wanted to live to my potential. I had no idea what that was. I had no clue, no vision, no idea. But I said, live to my potential. And the second thing I wanted to be happy. So I always wanted to be happy. And this journey of 40-plus years, that's right, you heard me, this journey of 40-plus years, I've done some homework. I've got some answers. But I'm not pretending. Trust me, I'm not pretending to know everything, but I promise you that what I share may connect with you and may not, may inspire you and may not, may shift your perspective. I always say one of my biggest compliments that I get is, well, I never thought about it like that, Rebecca. Thank you. And that's all I'm here is to share another perspective. And today's topic is about anger. I mean, how many of you out there get that emotion of anger from time to time? Well, my hand is up, my left hand is up, including me. That's right, happiness specialist, inner peace practitioner. Oh, yes, I experience anger too. I'm not just running around here skipping through the tulips. Oh, life is wonderful. Life is glorious. Nothing happens bad to me. No, 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 no. And in fact, I've said this before, I think I get extra duty. I think the universe throws extra shit at me. No. And I don't take it personally. Because if I'm claiming to be a happiness specialist, if I'm claiming to be an inner peace practitioner, I better walk it. And let me just start. You know what? Before I do this, one of the things that I'm just not, I'm not going to say I'm not good at, but let me give you my online, how you can connect with me online. I always do it at the end of the show, but sometimes people leave, and for whatever reason, it's never personal. And I just want to give out the information, how you can connect with me on social media. So my website is RebeccaNorrington.com. That's RebeccaNorrington, RebeccaNorrington.com. And my Twitter handle is RL Norrington. I'm on LinkedIn. Oh, shoot, I forgot to post this LinkedIn show today. Anyway, I'll post it after the show. My Instagram handle is Reality Spirituality. YouTube channel, I have a few YouTube videos. And guess what? If you followed me, you know about the 2018 after my mother died, and I found out that the family house was gifted to her handyman. Well, that's a long, it's an ongoing battle with me and currently he's the probate commissioner in Clark County. And yours truly was interviewed. Yay! So there is the most of the story memorialized on YouTube. And if you want to search, let's see, the name of the, it's called Veterans in Politics, Las Vegas. If you search Veterans in Politics, Las Vegas, you will see yours truly. It was about almost an hour interview from the very beginning. How the hell did my mother even have the ability to gift a house to her handyman? Well, she didn't do it by herself. And I explain with exhibits, with photos. I'm not going to say it's fascinating because it's not fascinating. But what I do is I share from the very beginning, how the hell did that even happen? And again, it's an ongoing battle, which brings me to one of the topics of today's show, which is working hard or working inspired. But before I go on, let me see. So the video's on YouTube. I do have a YouTube channel, but that's still a work in progress. But the interview that I did, it was on Wednesday, May the 3rd, with Steve Sanson, who is the president of Veterans in Politics Las Vegas. So if you're interested, let's get back to the topic of happiness. And how the heck can I maintain happiness and inner peace with something like that happens? Well, see, that's the beauty of it. Happiness is a practiced skill. I'll say that again, just in case you didn't hear it. Happiness is a practice skill. Inner peace is a practice skill. And what that means is that if I can practice it, so can you. Yes, I said 45 years, and that's a long time to be practicing this shit. A long time. However, I promise you that when you commit, when you make a commitment and you prioritize this thing we call happiness, and when I say prioritize, I mean it's number one, numero uno, number one all the time, not number two, not number three, not number four, number one. But see, that's a decision that you make. That's a decision that you will have to make, because I used to beat my head up against the wall, because little old me, I thought, yeah, of course, everybody wants to be happy, right? Raise your hands. All the hands start flying up in the air. Yes. But when I give them the solution, and when I share the solution to all of that, happiness is a practice skill. Guess where all the practice is done? Guess where all the practice is done? And that's where people just start scurrying away. Nope, goodbye. No, thank you. In fact, I remember I was talking to a cousin. Oh, my gosh, this had to be at least 25 years ago, and I was telling him that, let me just back up a little bit. Can you imagine if someone broke into your house? I know this is a gruesome story. They broke into your house, and they wanted to snuff you out. So you're in the bed, they've got the pillow, and they're smothering you with all their might, and you're fighting, and you're fighting, and you're fighting to breathe. You're fighting to survive. You're fighting for your last breath. That's what I talk about when I say committed. I am as committed to this happiness thing, this inner peace thing, just like I need to breathe. And I understand everybody isn't that committed. I get it. I promise you I do. But the commitment, just like I need to breathe, that's the importance I place on it. And the world teaches something different. And the world is programmed for something different. I'm just doing it. I'm not going to say ask backwards. I'm just doing the happiness first, the inner peace first, and then everything else can fall into place. Everything else can fall into place. Let me get back to this happiness. Let me give you my definition of happiness. Oh, before I do that, if you want to call in and speak with me live, area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. And or, you know, if you're on Wisdom, you could just ask to join. Where was I? Oh, my definition of happiness. And I realize everybody's got something different. My definition of happiness is the ability to vibrate an energy of peace and contentment, regardless of what happens in this world, regardless of what happens to me, regardless of what life looks like outside, regardless, the ability to vibrate an energy of peace and contentment, regardless of what happens, and regardless of what doesn't happen. To be an energy of peace. So when I say happiness, I'm talking about a state in mind, a state of mind, a vibration, an energy, a foundation, which, quite frankly, for me, has become an identity. Not my name, not my titles, not how many followers. My identity is my vibration. I just came up with that. My identity, scratch that, my identity. I identify with an energy. I identify with an energy, and everybody understands, everybody gets that energy of contentment. Sometimes that happiness word, you know, happy, what kind of bullshit is the happy? No, you understand what I mean when I say an energy of contentment. Is it possible to vibrate the energy of contentment, inner peace and contentment, regardless of what happens? Is it possible to feel a vibration of contentment regardless of what life throws? Yes, of course. Welcome back, Elaine. Of course it is, with a lot of practice. And so it always comes back to the individual in the mirror. It always comes back to that person, which is you. It always comes back to you because that's how powerful you are in making choices and making decisions. And in any moment, you are either choosing peace or you're choosing something else. You're either choosing the energy of peace, contentment, or you're either choosing something else. And what happens is, because it's not your fault. What happens is the programming gets in the way. What the hell do you mean by programming? Well, when I say happiness, inner peace, and contentment are all practice skills, it's like any other practice skill. The more you commit to the practice, the better your results. So the first part of the practice, here we go. The first part of the practice is to gradually put a spotlight on, focus on, all of those programmed behaviors that you learned as a child, that you were conditioned as a child, that you were brainwashed as a child, that you've adopted as truth as an adult, is to gradually eliminate all of those false beliefs, programs, one by one by one. Oh, and don't think that it's easy. And you know the other practice is having patience. Having patience with yourself, having patience with the way life unfolds, having patience with the plan. With the plan? What plan? The divine plan, the universal plan. You know, you can use whatever term you want. God, the divine, source. The last one I heard, which I really like that I learned that last week or a couple weeks ago, all that is higher power, spirit, God, whatever you want to call it. It's not the word that's important. It's not the word that has all the power. It's the energy. It's your vibration that is the power. It's your vibration. And so in any moment, you can feel whether you're vibrating a sense of dissatisfaction or satisfaction. It's very simple. And then you're dissatisfied with what? The world sells. The world teaches dissatisfaction. Is it possible to be content and dissatisfied at the same time? I say no. I say no. So when I talk about happiness, the good news is it's a practice skill and anyone can practice. And you can practice for as many times as you want during the day or not. It's the same as balancing. I teach fitness classes, and part of the classes that I teach is balancing now, balance practice. It's the same. It's a practice skill. The ability to balance is just a practice. And then, so don't think that these results are going to happen overnight. Sometimes they will, but don't think that the results happen overnight, and that's the other part of the practice, is being patient with the process. So let me ask you these questions. On a scale from 1 to 10, after I've gone a long time with this introduction, on a scale from 1 to 10, how important is happiness in your life? I heard a saying yesterday, and it's not mine. Happiness is the new wealth. I'm going to look into trademarking that. Don't you get to that before I do. Don't you trademark that before I get there. Happiness is the new wealth. Isn't that? I love that. And then, so on a scale from 1 to 10, how important is this contentment to you? How important is it? Or are there other things that, they're more important, Rebecca? Okay. You will get the results. You will get the results of whatever you practice. I promise you that. What or who is subtracting from your happiness today? Are you as happy when faced with life's inevitable challenges? Oh, the program says no. In fact, that's what we're going to talk about today, about anger. Oh, I cannot wait. Does this happiness specialist, does yours truly get angry? Of course she does. The difference is that I know that my anger has nothing to do with the story in my head, that my anger, I cannot blame my anger on anything external. What? What do you mean you can't blame your anger on anything external. That's the reason why people get angry, because of pointing the fingers. It's because of them. It's because of them. And let me give you this. Oh, let me share this story that just happened yesterday. Reality spirituality. Here we go. I live in a community. Don't tell anybody. 55 and older. That's one of those. It's where all the it's where all the old people come to live in the fourth quarter of their life. 55 plus community. And even the speed limit here is 25 miles an hour in the community, 30 miles an hour in the community. It's very nice. It's a nice little quaint small. And you know, my parents lived here back in 1990. My parents lived in this same community. That's when they were just building it, and one of the largest cross streets was a dirt road, and the nearest store was 20 minutes away, and the nearest bank was 15 minutes away. But now, of course, there's over 7,000 homes here. But back in the day, back in 1990, it was very small, but it's still a nice, very nice community. So listen, I'm driving, and there's no stoplights, and there's no traffic lights, it's just stop signs. Oh, I've got my right hand up, I got my left hand up, I got my foot out, and I'm shaking it all about. And when I turned to go onto another street where there is more traffic, when I say more traffic, one more car, there was a woman waiting on my left. So there's the stop sign. I'm coming up to a stop sign, and yours truly, reality spirituality, I didn't stop. I did a rolling stop, which I didn't come to a full stop. I did a rolling stop. Now, I could give you a story as to why I did a rolling stop, because when she was on the left of me, and by the time I stopped and started going again, here's my excuse. This isn't an excuse. I'm just letting you know. I know me. It's an excuse to justify me not stopping. But she was far enough away that even if I stopped, I mean, I could have gone fast. I did a rolling stop and zoom, you know, here I go. And this woman who had a handicap, one of those blue handicap stickers hanging from her rear view mirror, laid on the horn, kept honking. I thought I was in New York because it's a quiet community. She was, like it was a smoke alarm. Wow, she was angry. Oh, my goodness. Now, of course, when that happens, well, I don't know about you. I don't know if you can relate. Is anybody out there not stop for a stop sign? Don't you tell me that you always stop for a stop sign. Anyway, I digress. So this woman, and of course now I'm rolling stop, she's angry, she's right behind my car, and I had to make a left-hand turn. I was going to make a left-hand turn, now I'm at a signal. And I said, oh, God, universe, you know, is she going to be right behind me? Does she need to make a left turn too? Because that's the worst. Isn't that the worst when something like that happens and they either pull right next to you? Whatever. But let me just stay with the story, because I could get off in a tangent. Okay, she's right behind me, and guess what? She had to turn left, too. Oh, she had to make a left turn, too. So now I'm looking at her from my rearview mirror. She rolls down her window. She pops her head out. Did I tell you she had a handicap sticker? So she had to be, I would say she had to be at least in her 70s, maybe early 80s, screaming at me. I had my windows rolled up, and I was listening to country music. Son of a Sinner by Jelly Roll, if you want to know the truth. Son of a Sinner. Anyway, she rolls down her window, screams, yells. I don't know what she's yelling because I'm listening to music. And then she takes her phone out and she takes a picture of my license plate. She takes a picture of my license. She takes two pictures. And I'm thinking, this woman is just, she is livid. But there's two things. She's blaming me for her anger. Now, a programmed person, that's justified. Of course she's angry because of your actions. Of course she's angry because of what you did. But the truth is, my dear reality spirituality listeners, my dear reality spirituality audience, the truth is, that we were all programmed to believe that anger is because of something external. The program is to blame. And in fact, I've said this before, the blame game. The blame game program people play. It's not your circumstances. It's not the relationship you do or do not have. It's not who won the election or the price of gas or the weather or the state of the world. It's not your health. It's not your aches and pains. We all know it's definitely not money or quote-unquote success. Thank you, Will Smith, for giving me an example of evidence that fame, success, money has nothing to do with anger, and I'm talking about internal anger. Scratch the internal anger. Scratch that. Lack of inner peace. How about that one? Because anybody with any inner peace isn't going to behave in a certain way. So it's not money. It's not how much. It's not how you look or how old you are. Thanks a lot, universe. Or how much you weigh. It's not your children. It's not your parents. Your inner peace depends on what you practice on a daily basis. You want to feel different during any challenging moment? You can. Just look in the mirror and choose a different perspective. Elevate your consciousness. Grow. Be different than you were last week. You know, before, of course I would point my finger and she's angry at me. But let me finish the story. So I turned left, she turned left. I'm in the far left lane. She's in the far right lane. I believe there were three lanes on the street. Yeah, three lanes. She's in the far right lane. Guess what happened after that? She's in the far right lane, and there's traffic. You know how when you have to kind of sneak out a little bit in the car and there's you kind of go a little farther out into the intersection so you can see right and you can see left so you can see ongoing traffic in order to make a turn. So there was a car in the right lane. She's driving. There was a car that was poked out to the point where this woman who just honked at me and yelled at me had to stop. Wow, that's justice right there on the spot, in the moment. She had to stop, and of course, when she stopped, the horn started blowing, and she's livid at this driver. I know the programming teaches you to blame something or some circumstance for your anger. But there is another state. There is another state of consciousness. There is another level of awareness that the blame, you can use blame. You can blame, but it's just not the truth. Huh? What do you mean? And so let's go down the list. Not only it's not the truth with anger, it's not the truth with blame or your circumstances. What is the solution? What is the practice? Thank you for asking. The practice is, oh, again, if you want to call in and speak with me live, the number is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. Here's what I practice. I don't care what anyone says or how they say it to me or how they respond to me, whether it's in anger or whether it's another emotion. It's never personal. It's not personal. Even this woman screaming, yelling, honking, it's not personal. She's angry. Now, she believes she's angry because of my actions. Oh, yeah, that's the program. The program is to blame someone else or something else for how you're feeling. And I'm here to tell you that when I say it's not the truth, it's not the truth. It's a program. All programs subtract from your contentment, subtract from your happiness. Here we go. Number one, it's not personal. It's not personal. Even her yelling at me is not personal. She needed to release what it, she needed to express that anger. That's what she needed to do. That's all I know. I don't know why. I don't know the circumstances, but she needed to release that anger. And I just happened to be in the vicinity. So here we go. What do you do with the anger, especially if it's directed at you? Know that it's not personal. Now, if somebody, say it's a family member or a loved one or a coworker, somebody that you know, somebody that you've had interaction with, whether it's, somebody that you know, even their anger, it's not personal. I know it feels personal. I know the program says it's personal. I get it. I promise you I do. But it's still not. And when you are able to practice letting go of taking anything personally, especially from whether you know the person or not, when you practice letting go of taking anything personally, you are going to experience more contentment, more inner peace. Yes, you will. You know, and there are people, here we go, seatbelt time. There are people who are addicted to, that's right, forget the addictions to drugs and alcohol and shopping and gambling and eating or food. Forget those. How about the addiction to being sensitive, so sensitive, and taking everything personally? And now there's a victim mentality. I'm taking everything personally. And I'm going to let you know, that what you did, what you said, your actions hurt me. That's another program. I'm not saying this work is easy, but the awareness to what's the truth, because let's go back. Evidence. Popped out of the womb, 6 months old, 1 month old, 1 year old, 2 years old, scratched out 2 years old. Screaming, yelling, calling a baby all kinds of names. Of course, that's not scientific, Rebecca, but there aren't anything, there's nothing personal. Taking anything personally is a learned behavior. It's a program. The good news is what you learned, you can unlearn. That's the power. Letting these people, can you imagine letting these people spew out their anger and just knowing that it's not personal, letting it go, and wow, they must be, damn, they're feeling their volcano today. And that's the thing. Let me get back to, what do you do with the anger? And again, this is my perspective. Either you vibe with it or you don't. It ain't personal. But this is what I've come up with after all of these years, because don't tell anybody. I used to love getting angry. Oh, man, and I used to love to argue, and I used to love to get angry, especially at people that I knew, especially at people I claimed to love. Oh, I could get angry in a minute. But when that commitment to prioritizing this contentment, this happiness thing, just like I need to breathe, all of that had to go. Getting back to feeling angry, yes. How do I describe it? What do you mean? How do I describe my anger? Just like a volcano, there are times to erupt. There is a time for it to erupt. Same thing with the earthquake, but I like the volcano because it's spewing out all this heat. So there is a time for the volcano to erupt. Being human, there is a time to feel anger. There is a time to feel it. I can't do anything about it. Sometimes it happens closer to the full moon. I've noticed that. But this anger, without a story behind it as to why I'm feeling angry, because that's the program, always attaching a story as to why I'm feeling angry. It has to be point your finger. And I'm here to tell you, it's just part of being human. It's part of it. It's part of the emotion and the feelings. So what do I do when I feel that anger? Well, one of the things I know, and see, that's another practice. Getting to know who you are at your core. Getting to know you. The study is you. The study is the study that person in the mirror. And really be mindful of, is this really you? And when I say really you, I mean the core. So I know, practice, believe that, especially this anger has nothing to do with any of my circumstances. I realize that. I know that. So what do I do with it? First practice is acceptance. The first practice is accepting whatever emotion I'm feeling. I'm not going to take credit for this one. This is Guy Finley. You can Google him online. He's really a good teacher. Guy Finley, Finley. And he says, what is it? Oh, the feel is real. The why is a lie. The feel is real. The why is a lie. So let's go back to the anger. So the first thing I practice is acceptance. Acceptance that I am feeling this way in this moment. Do I know how long it's going to last? No. Do I know why? No. Am I feeling it? Yes. What do I do? Well, to save the world and to protect the world, from my irritation and annoyance and anger, I do what I call hibernate. That means that I'm not gonna answer the phone all the time. I'm not going to answer the phone if I have a chip on my shoulder. I'm not going to answer the phone if I'm charged. I'm not going to answer the phone if I'm in the middle of erupting. I'm going to do everybody else a favor. I'm not, because I already know. I've done it too much. Let me share a really quick story. I go to the chiropractor once a week, sometimes a little bit less than that. And, oh, my gosh, one of my things that just pushes my ego's button, and it's not me. It's that ego. One of the things that bothers my ego is this, there's this one woman. Well, actually, there's more than one. This one woman who talks, and it's a fake laugh. I know. I'm not judging. I'm just describing. It's a fake laugh, and it's just, oh, man, oh, man. Irritating and annoying to my ego. Let me just separate it. Let me separate, because there's a difference between my ego and there's definitely a difference between my universal entity. So I've got two to tangle. Well, the universe doesn't tangle with the ego, but the ego definitely likes to tangle. My ego definitely likes to tangle. And sometimes my ego wins out. When I'm annoyed, when I'm angry, when I'm bothered, my ego is being fueled, is getting food, is getting furnished with nourishment. And last Friday, this has happened two times now. I've listened to this woman after months and months and months of being annoyed with her. Here we go. This is my judgment now. This is my judgment. This is a judgment of her fakeness and her program. But see, I don't feel good judging. There is no peace when I'm making a judgment. I can feel it. And if I can feel it, you can feel it. There is no contentment when I'm judging someone else. And I ask the universe, how do I let go? How do I let go, and how do I accept this woman just like the universe accepts me? How do I do it? And I let it go. I'm not trying to work on it. I'm not trying. I trust that with anything that is on this planet evolves. Everything, nothing stays the same. And for the last two Fridays, I'm listening to this same woman with the same questions and the same annoyance, all of it, and there's nothing there anymore. It's just all acceptance. And in fact, oh my goodness, I'm making jokes. Now I talk to her, now I joke, as opposed to, oh, she's so annoying. One of the things that, I got both hands up, this is a tough one. If you have, just like I do, any buttons, the pointing the finger and blaming anybody for your buttons being pushed, it's up to you to eliminate your buttons. And the buttons are there just for a clue. It gives you a hint. Wow. I'm not accepting. I'm speaking of myself. Wow. I'm making a judgment. Wow. All of that. All of those wows. Anger always comes with the anger, according to the program, always comes with something or someone to blame for it. What are you going to do when there's, what do you do with your time when there's no one to blame? When there's nothing to blame? The feeling is real. The why is alive. The emotion of anger, it's real. The question is, how do you respond, or how do you, there's a difference between responding and reacting. So the question is, how do you respond, not react? Because you're reacting as a program. How do you respond to your own anger? And I already said it. It's a waiting game. I wait for it to go. How long? Who knows? That's another practice. Being okay with uncertainty. Being okay with the future. What if this anger lasts for an afternoon, a day, 2 days, a week? Sometimes I can feel it. I can feel the irritation, the annoyance. I can feel that longer than a few days. But I'll tell you this, that nothing stays the same. And when I feel it, I also know that it's not going to be there forever. Let me scratch that one. If the universe has a plan for me to feel irritated until the day I breathe my last breath, I have to accept that too. Yeah. The practice is acceptance. The other practice is just feeling it, allowing it, and being okay with however long the process works or takes to work. That's the practice. Let me go to the next topic. Oh, let me just look at my notes. Anger. What do you do with your anger? Charged, easily irritated, annoyed. So all of the practice what I'm saying is just practice acceptance of it. No need to explain it away. No need to justify it. No need to, I mean, unless you want to, it's a little extra. No need to, it's because, that word, because I'm angry, because I am just feeling it. And in fact, if you really want to get to another spot, if you really want to get to another level, you don't even label it anger. Oh, what? That's right. You don't even label it anger. You could just label it. And so what's another word that isn't, because anger is just a program, charged. You feel charged. You're like a lightning bolt. See, the anger even, that word anger even has a little, not a little, it comes with a blame. It comes with a program. But I'm feeling charged. I really like that word, charged. I'm feeling charged, and in this moment I am, and in the next moment or the next moment I may not be. That's what yours truly does with anger. And quite frankly, the people that are close to me, I don't have a lot. The people that are close to me, if I send a text and say, hey, I'm charged, or and that's another thing. Being mindful and sharing, not to ask for assistance. Well, what do I do with this anger? But just be mindful and say, hey, just letting you know, there's some landmines over here. There's some charged feelings over here. Nothing personal. And let me get to, and that's how I have conversations with people that are close to me. It's not about them. It's just letting you know that, hey, I'm feeling charged, and you may not hear from me for a day or 2 days or 3 days or 4 days or however long it takes. Simple. This is a strategy. If you want to speak with me live, the number, the call-in is area code. Oh, we're coming to the end of the show. Area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. And I mentioned this at the beginning of the class, the beginning of the show, that I finally was interviewed, and you can find it on YouTube, the story about how my mother, Marcel Norrington, gifted the family house to her handyman. It's on, the whole interview is on YouTube. It's under, you can search Veterans in Politics, Las Vegas. Veterans in Politics, Las Vegas, and you'll see yours truly telling the whole story. Finally, you know how long, talk about patience, you know how long it took for the story to be filmed and memorialized? Over 5 years. Why? There's no reason why. It just wasn't time. And that's it. If something is happening, it's because it's supposed to happen. And if it's not happening, it's just not time. Let's go to today's second topic. The second topic, okay, here we go. Working hard versus working inspired. I know, the whole program is Work hard, work hard, work hard. I got this with hard work. Now, I'm not poo-pooing all you hard workers. Trust me on that. And in fact, what a great time to pull this out. The five most common regrets of the dying. You can Google this study. The five most common regrets of the dying. The first is, I wish, so these are people that had days to live, weeks to live, months to live. And I always cite the study. I think this is very powerful. These are people that have a limited amount of time on the planet. They know it, and they are writing down their five biggest regrets. The first one is, I wish I would have pursued my dreams and aspirations and not the life others expected of me. The second most common regret of the dying, put your seatbelts on for this one, I wish I didn't work so hard. That's the only reason why I brought it up. I wish I didn't work so hard. Number three, I wish I had the courage to express my feelings and speak my mind. Number four, I wish I had stayed in touch with my friends. Sometimes we outgrow our friends. And number five, I wish I would have been happier. I wish I would have let myself be happier. So tying into this working hard, I'm not making a judgment. I'm not, I promise you. But there is a program that says, there is a program that doesn't, I go back to the feeling to satisfy versus satisfy, doesn't feel satisfied if there isn't something to do. There isn't something to accomplish. There isn't something on my list. I've got to be doing something. If I'm just staring at the wall, how the hell can I feel contentment? How the hell can I be at peace just staring at a wall? Is that possible? The answer is, of course it is. The not feeling productive, the thinking that this work has to be hard is another program. So it's coming back to working hard versus working inspired. I prefer to work inspired. Now that comes with a big challenge, and it comes with a big challenge to my ego. I use the word ego. It's that voice in the head. It's that voice that never shuts up. It's that voice that comes with the stories and the thoughts and the reasons why, the problems. You know that voice. You know the one with the constant doom and gloom stories. The question is, do you identify with that entity that is telling those stories? The question becomes, is that who you are? You, your thoughts? I know, no, I don't identify with my thoughts. I do not identify with those stories either. None of it. I know that they're there. I'm aware of them. But as far as my identity, absolutely not. As soon as you're born, you're given a name, a nationality, a religion, a race, and a culture, and then you spend the rest of your life identifying and defending that program. And I'm here to tell you, I'm not a name, a title, I'm not, and if I'm not, you're not, I'm more consciousness, living out a human experience. And in fact, the universe, whatever term you want to use, all that is, I like that term, all that is having a human experience through, let me just speak for myself. I don't like speaking for others. The universe is having a human, the universe is having an experience through me, is having a universal experience through me. There is nothing in this universe that doesn't get done. That means that there is nothing that I don't get done. There is nothing that I don't complete that is supposed to be completed. I know, it's the opposite. You're just lazy. Yes, I am. And I wear it. I wear that badge proudly. I was labeled lazy. Lazy, lazy. And this just fits into my lazy nature. Lazy, I need to form a club. Lazy People Unite. This program of having to do, how about just having to be? And I know it's an acquired taste, and some may say, oh, that's just an excuse for not doing anything. Okay, you can say that too. It fits into my lazy nature. But in these last few years, and I did say 45 years plus, these last few years of waiting for, being patient with, inspired action, being patient and waiting for inspired action, is that's how I'm rolling now. But both are programs, getting something done and not getting anything done. So it's whatever I'm doing, whatever I'm experiencing, can I be content with just being? Oh, I have somebody. Oh, hold on. Come back. I just looked down and I saw somebody was waiting to join. Oh, come back. If you're still there, come back. Let's see. Oh, well, I'll make sure that I look at that. Because anyway, where was I? And see, there you go. Some people are here, some people are not there. You either have the patience to wait or not. And the bottom line is, whatever I'm experiencing, there are no mistakes. I don't use that word mistake. There are no mistakes. There's nothing that should happen or shouldn't happen. It's just happening. Happening. If it's happening, it's supposed to be happening. Let me get back to this working hard versus working inspired. When you practice waiting for inspiration, sometimes inspiration comes constantly, and sometimes there are days that there is no inspiration. The question becomes, are you patient enough? Do you trust enough? Do you practice trusting enough? Do you practice surrendering to whatever the moment is showing or bringing? Or is the program to want more from a present moment? I know. That's a constant practice. My ego wants to experience more from the satisfaction, more from a present moment. I need more in this moment. I don't need less. I need more. When I say happiness is the practice skill, happiness is the new wealth. When I say happiness is a practice skill, it is an ongoing, ever, never ceasing, no vacations, no days off, no breaks, no breaks. But that's the power. That is the power that only you, my dear listener, only you, my dear audience, can choose. But the choice comes beneath all of the program. In fact, let me just wrap this up in case somebody else wants to join wisdom. Please be my guest, especially if you don't agree. I love that. When I said the first part of the practice is to gradually eliminate the behaviors that have been proven to subtract from happiness and contentment, the program behaviors. So I'm up to 51 program behaviors that subtract from happiness. 51. Raise your hand, audience. How many of you worry? Raise your hand. That many? Well, know that that's also a program. You didn't pop out of the womb knowing how to worry. That's another program. And the reason why people are worried is because there's a lack of practicing trust. There's a lack of trust. It's the only reason why there's worry. Anyway, let me get back to this inspired action versus hard work. And I'm not here to convince you. I'm not here to say that my way is the right way. All I'm here is offering another perspective that maybe you can relate to, vibe with, or not. I'm just sharing. So for me, this waiting for inspired action, even if I have to wait 5+ years, I waited 5+ years to be interviewed about this ongoing legal battle with the attorney that gifted the family house to the handyman. It is 5+ years. Now, if you had told me 5 years ago it's going to be 5 years, I would have been pissed. two years, 4 years, 5 years. What do you mean I have to wait 5 years? But isn't that the plan? The plan is to be, I'm speaking for myself, the plan is to be okay and have patience with how long the universe takes to unfold anything. Oh, here we go. This is another practice. These wants and the desires. I'm sorry. Another time to put your seatbelt on, and then I'll wrap it up. Here we go. The wants and the desires. I want something to happen now. I want something to happen quicker. I desire fill in the blank. This is the latest. Hot off the press. Eliminating all wants. My head is down. My head is down. My eyes are closed. Eliminating the wants. You eliminate the wants, guess what's right around the corner? Contentment. Eliminate the wants. Right around the corner is contentment. Don't think that was easy. Don't think that I have it 100%. But I definitely recognize when my ego wants something, especially if I put a time to it. Got to happen in this amount of time. Got to happen now. 6 month goal. Within 2 years, 5 years, 5+ years. Wanting the story to come out publicly. Try going up against what the universe wants and what you want. Who do you think is going to win? I can't speed it up. I can't slow it down. I can't make it happen. I cannot not make it happen. This is all, oh, Lord, I understand. I know. Because if the universe doesn't sign off on it, it ain't happening. So that's just another programmed behavior that I practice eliminating. Wanting anything other than what I am experiencing in the present moment. You know another program that I added to this a few weeks ago, the program of loss, thinking that I can lose something or lose someone. The program of loss. That's another program. I get it. Well, if no one wants to join or no one wants to add to the conversation, I am going to call this a wrap. That's the end of today's show. Thank you for listening. Reality Spirituality Radio is heard every Sunday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. My website is RebeccaNorrington.com. Follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington. LinkedIn. My Instagram handle is Reality Spirituality. My YouTube channel is a work in progress. And now you can see, you can look at, or you can, if you feel inspired, to look at the interview that I did on Wednesday, May the 3rd, about the whole story, how the hell did my mother manage to gift a family house to her handyman? Oh, how about this? I know that's a story, but my mother didn't do that. The universe did that. That was part of another plan so that I would learn more lessons, so I would practice letting go of attachments, letting go of expectations, letting go of anything material, letting it go. That includes cash, baby. My first book, Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, can be purchased on Amazon. The book that I'm writing now, it's called Programmed for Unhappiness. It is going to be published sometime, hopefully, before the end of summer. And until next week, my dear audience, I want you to remember who the hell you are. You are a physical extension of the universe. Your conscious energy, which is always evolving, always changing, always growing. Stay open. Be open to new ideas, new possibilities, or not. Love is patient and love is kind. Be patient and be kind to yourself. By accepting yourself in every moment, be your own best friend. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. It is about the journey. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality Radio with yours truly, happiness specialist, global happiness specialist, inner peace practitioner, Rebecca L. Norrington. And remember, happiness is a practice skill. Contentment is a practice skill. Inner peace is a practice skill. And I promise you, the more you practice, the more peace you will find in every moment. Every moment reflects on what you practice. Thank you for listening. Have a conscious week.
Yeah. It's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one,
man. Spirituality.
You got a question for RLN?
Reality. Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Spirituality.
Oh, now we get real.
Get down,
bring
to get spirituality.